Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Welcome to the show, Tim Milazzo.
Victor, so glad to be back and thank you for having me.
Well, great to have you here. Now, you were last on the show back in 2021 and your platform has grown quite a bit, but for the folks who haven't met you yet, maybe give a little bit of your backstory, how you got to this point in your journey. I know we've got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur in commercial real estate finance, and we have built a platform called StackSource that matches commercial real estate investing deals with capital sources. So we started as a lender matching portal. And so back in 2021, we talked about our features of finding the right lender quickly and getting quotes online. And we've since expanded into capital stack building across both debt and equity. We do a lot of multifamily financing, and we are also doing other commercial real estate asset classes. And we've grown to be one of the fastest growing commercial real estate finance companies in the country because we're bringing transparency to financing matches and the financing process.
Now, clearly the financing world has changed an awful lot, especially over the last 12 months. And even more recently than that, we're seeing lenders pulling back. We're seeing lenders saying, you know what, I'm not taking any new business. I'm just going to keep my balance sheet standing ready for existing clients. How has that changed things for you, and how is it changing your approach?
Yeah, our business has changed a lot in the last 18 months. And we had started an expansion in early 2022 into providing alternative capital solutions when debt wasn't the only answer to get a real estate deal transacted. And there have always been these deals where it's hairy, there's a story where you need to bring in something other than a lender to get it done because you don't have all the equity you need, or there needs to be another alternative capital provider. That has become the norm. So as interest rates have risen, as spreads and the economic picture has become unclear and people are hanging on every word from the Federal Reserve and from these Federal Reserve meetings, banks, credit unions, and other lenders have been extra cautious on leverage. The rates are up, which reduces the debt service coverage ratio, which means it's harder to get a deal to pencil with debt alone. So we've been working behind the scenes on our platform to also build new features like equity partner matching. And so we're taking these deals that maybe 2 years ago, they would have been 80% leverage with 3% debt, and that's all you needed. And today it might be 60 or 65% debt, and we can bridge the gap with alternative capital providers that you're matched to in our platform as well. So that's really been the big growth for us over the last 18 months as we've started to get in this game of putting together the entire capital stack rather than just matching lenders.
I think that's extremely valuable for the market. It's definitely solving a problem that exists today. Can you talk a little bit about the breakdown of your client base? How much of that is existing product value add versus perhaps new development? How does that break down? Because traditionally that would have been mostly funded with bridge, then converting to perm, but today that's a more difficult story.
That's right. There are not a lot of simple, stabilized acquisition deals going on today in 2023. That was a big part of our business in 2020 and 2021, because where cap rates were and interest rates were, it seems like every multifamily acquisition was a great deal. And that it seems that way for a few years. And you know what? For a few years, that was the case. If you had bought a multifamily in 2015, whether you were a genius or not, the debt was cheap and the cap rates kept compressing. And if you chose a decent market, you probably won through appreciation. That is not the story today. Savvy real estate investors are making their money through value add plays, through finding off-market opportunities, or through developing in a market that has long-term demand drivers. That's how multifamily and commercial investors are making money today if they're transacting. And other investors that don't have those deals and haven't developed those opportunities, they may be sitting on the sidelines as they're not sure, is debt going to continue to get more expensive? Are cap rates going to expand further? So a larger portion of our pipeline today is development, major value add, or distressed deals where it's an acquisition or it's a recapitalization. And I don't say refinancing because it might not just be a refinancing of senior debt. It might be a recap where there's a takeout of the senior debt and there's an introduction of mezzanine debt, or there's an introduction of preferred equity, something to stave off having to sell in a difficult market or having to not having the debt service coverage ratio to just do a straight refinance. So it's all of those things. It's increasingly those things for us at StackSource and bringing capital solutions to more complicated and more complex scenarios.
So talk a little bit about the investor base, because we get feedback from investors. We're currently raising capital ourselves, and the feedback falls into a few different categories. There are some folks that are patient investors that are saying, you know what, this is a temporary thing. We're just looking beyond this current cycle. We want to work with strong operators, and as long as the fundamentals are there, we're good. Then you have others that are saying, let's sit on the sidelines waiting for the distress to hit the market. And then there's other folks as well that are saying, you know what, if I can get over 5% in T-bills, why would I take any risk? It's kind of everything. It's a bit of a soup right now. What are you seeing from investors?
Well, I think that market context is important. Not only what can we get in that five-year T-bill, but what can we get in BBB corporate bonds? And there's a lot of talk about bond markets right now, because the U.S. Sovereign debt was just downgraded by Fitch. And there's a lot of talk of what is really a safe investment, what is really a growth investment over the coming years. And that's all market context for investors rather than lenders who are just looking at debt service coverage. So they're just looking at LTV. They may be a bank that's scared about their deposit levels today. And so a strong borrower to a bank might be, oh, this is someone, if I lend to them, I get a deposit relationship back, and that's actually a good trade. When you're talking about a preferred equity investor or someone that is institutional or just sub-institutional that may come in as a capital partner, they are looking at the context and making sure there's enough yield on cost that it is worth the premium risk over not only the T-bill, but those BBB bonds. And if there is, then they're looking at that next level and they're saying, is this an operator? Is this a sponsor? Is this a developer that has that track record with that asset type? Is this a multifamily value add acquisition? How many have they done and have they accomplished their business plans? Is this a distressed office scenario? Well, have they done asset management for offices, or can it be converted to medical office, or can it be converted to something else? There needs to be a yield on cost that's interesting for the risk taken. And there needs to be a strong operator. And just about nobody else is going to qualify for really good capital right now. But there is, for those strong operators, if you have a track record, if you're doing something that you can repeat and you can prove that you can repeat it, there's actually a lot of preferred equity money out there right now, because the large operators and large institutional investors that may not have the core opportunities to just do straight and simple acquisitions that they were doing a couple of years ago, they're saying, well, we need to make yield somehow. Our business is investing money. We're trying to raise our own LP capital into these institutional funds. Therefore, the way they see to do it is through preferred equity or mezz debt with operators on the ground that have a track record and a good business plan. So that money is available. Deal has to pencil, and it has to have enough yield on cost that it justifies the premium. And so that means continuing to sharpen the pencil. You have to the underwriting needs to be recent. The value comps need to be recent. You cannot use comps even from 6 months ago today.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, when we talk about preferred equity or mezzanine money, secondary financing, that traditionally is expensive money. Now it's on a small proportion of the capital stack. So your blended cost of capital is probably not going to be impacted that much when you put the entire capital stack together. What are you seeing in terms of rates and terms? I mean, I can think of very few investors or developers that want to get in bed with someone who's going to be a loan-to-own vulture who's just waiting to take the property when you fail. What are you seeing?
Yes. So there are some alternative capital providers. If we're just going to take the broad stroke generalization that leverage is constrained today. And that's true. And now there are exceptions to that. If you have an exceptional deal with an exceptional yield on cost or acquisition cap rate. But let's take the general, hey, 60, 65% leverage today. Now you're trying to fill up something else. There are some alternative capital sources that are closer to debt-like terms as far as interest rate and having, not a participation in the upside. One of those is CPACE, commercial property assessed clean energy, and that will be closer to debt rates today. As a matter of fact, where debt rates have gone to be in the sixes to sevens and even eights, CPACE is really comparable. Now, that doesn't mix with every senior loan. Not every senior lender or bank will accept CPACE being in part of the stack. There's a tax assessment thing that some banks can't stomach. But that is actually pretty cheap capital. And that has been a solution, not only on some development and value add deals, but you can actually use it retroactively. Once again, needs to be approved by your senior lender. You're probably going to need a capital advisor to pitch that idea to the lender and explain and mitigate the risks. But that is something that is debt-like in the cost. If it is truly preferred equity or mezzanine, you're absolutely right, Victor. That is more expensive on an interest rate basis. If it's pref, you may not see a double-digit interest rate like a mezz loan, but you may see an 8% or 10% pref return and then some participation in the upside. You need to think of that not as a replacement for what you would have had in debt. You have to think, is that cost of capital cheaper than my own GP or LP capital? So if I really believe, and I truly believe my own underwriting, and this deal is an 18%, 22% IRR, well, is that mezz debt that's at 12 or 14%, or is that pref of 8 and 8 that adds up to a 16% return for the preferred investor, is it cheaper than my 18 or 22 or 24% IRR? Or if you have some amazing development play, even potentially higher, but you really need to believe your underwriting and think of it as a replacement for equity rather than a replacement for debt. So there are those debt replacements out there, some things like CPACE, and it takes some finagling to make some of these right, maybe historic tax credits. But the preferred equity in particular, it's a replacement for your equity. It's really not a replacement for debt. And you need to know that and understand that going in.
If I go back a couple of years, CPACE was, I won't say it was in the lunatic fringe, but it's now starting to become more mainstream. I'll throw out a number, maybe 15, 20% of the market today is CPACE. I don't know if you agree with that assessment. So it's becoming more common. Are there certain geographic areas or certain lenders that are more comfortable with that? What's your assessment?
Yes. So it is becoming more mainstream out of necessity because it's such a cheap financing option where it's closer to being a debt replacement than an equity replacement that it is favorable most times when just analyzed in a spreadsheet. Now, when you get to the real world and you look at a map of North America and where you can take advantage of this and, you know, a map of the United States in particular, it's not eligible in every state, county, municipality. What has to happen with this federal U.S. program for CPACE is the state needs to have their own charter for CPACE first, and then that needs to be accepted by the municipality, and that then gives you the option to pitch CPACE and get your senior lender to really allow it. So what we've done at StackSource, it's not a golden bullet, it's not a silver bullet, but we do have, when a property address is entered in our platform, it will tell you right there, is this an area of the country where CPACE has a program? It'll give you some information about that state's CPACE program. And then there would be a conversation to really look and analyze at the details and then ultimately pitch to the senior lender or the most competitive senior lenders available. CPACE should be a part of the stack. We do have signals in our database on which lenders have done CPACE before and have allowed it before. We find that that's not 100%. There needs to be that conversation because just because they accepted it on one project doesn't mean they will accept it for all projects. But we do have that map of which states and which counties you can use CPACE. So at least you know if it's on the menu.
If I reflect on what we've talked about so far today, listeners might be thinking, okay, these guys are just another broker. But that's not the case. Why don't you expand a little bit on that? Love to hear how folks can connect and learn more.
Sure. And we are capital advisors. And so certainly there's that human touch of let's talk about the project, let's analyze it together, and we are going to bring you out to market to get the most competitive financing quotes. In all those ways, we are the same as traditional financing brokers. Where we differ is the transparency. So you give us a property address in our portal. You don't want to talk to a human. You just want to see, is this eligible for CPACE? How many lenders am I matched to? What are the potential terms? You're going to see that in the first moment before you talk to a human. And that transparency continues through the whole process. We've built a tech platform that gives that transparency. And you're seeing, hey, here's a quote. Here's the bank it's from. And here are ratings of how other borrowers have found the organization and closing process for that bank and how happy they were. So we've built it essentially as a tool and a portal that just gives transparency into what your options are and what is going to happen next through the process. But in all the ways that, you know, you need to talk to an expert and you need to go out to market together, we're very similar to a broker.
Love it. Well, Tim, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Stacksource.com is our website. My email address is tim@stacksource.com. I'm a LinkedIn addict. So if you want to read some stuff about commercial real estate finance, you can connect with me there. And I would love to talk real estate and real estate finance with whoever's listening.
Fantastic. Well, love what you're doing. Love the update. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Tim Milazzo at Stacksource. The website is stacksource.com. Link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.